Hello everyone and welcome to GFG Tonight. Tonight we are doing a review of all the current events in Ukraine. The attack of Russia on different parts of Ukraine is advancing and there's lots of mimetics on the internet, lots of misleading information. It's quite amazing to see the leftists try to meme Ukraine into some kind of epic position of, oh my god, the mayor of Kyiv with a machine gun, wow. And it's amazing to see these people who would normally be very anti-gun are starting to enjoy the whole hero culture around the supposed defenders of Ukraine, taking no care about spreading misinformation. In fact, I didn't do a show yesterday, but if I had, because I was tired, but if I had, I would have talked about a lot about the ghost of Kyiv. The ghost of Kyiv would be some kind of ninja jet pilot who would be taking down Russian forces in the air. You don't see it because it's the ghost of Kyiv. He just passes between the buildings and you never quite see it. So he's never quite on a picture bombarding other aircrafts, but it's the ghost of Kyiv and he's already taken out 6 Russian aircrafts. And it was all propaganda, it was all false. There is no evidence that there is a ghost of Kyiv. And all of the videos that were shared of this supposed sight of this jet were all from a video game. It is fascinating to see the liberals try to meme themselves into war, meme Ukraine into a position of absolute resistance. Somehow I think it's good psychologically for the leftist. I think the fact that they can root for a supposed killer in the skies of Ukraine, somehow it's good for them, I think. But it's not bad, it's not good for their brain and for their access to actual information, but the fact that they can fantasize, and the fantasies around the ghost of Kyiv went so deep that at some point there were people speculating on Reddit that, hey, the ghost of Kyiv, we don't know their sex and gender. Maybe they're gender neutral. Maybe they're LGBT. So their fantasies went so far as to imagine that there was a trans pilot in the freaking skies of Kyiv just taking down Russians. And how perfect is it? This meme, it's the ghost of Kyiv. Why is there no picture of him? Well, it's the ghost of Kyiv. It's a ghost. Amazing. We'll have Coach Red Pill on the show. He has accepted to be on the show. I still have to schedule. I don't know if it will be tomorrow, but Coach Red Pill is right now at the heart of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And here he is in an hotel room in Kyiv. And he has a good understanding of what's going on here.
So today is Saturday, February 26th, and it's the third day of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Now, people in the United States do not seem to understand what is going on insofar as Russia's invasion is concerned, because they keep saying that Russia is failing, which is the weirdest comment. Russia is failing because...
So Coach Red Pill goes on to explain Russia is progressing slowly because they're not engaging in full destruction mode. The goal of Russia, clearly from the military actions that they've taken, is not to carpet bomb Ukraine. They want to leave civil society untouched. That is very clear. I mean, it would be extremely easy for Vladimir Putin to order the carpet bombing of a couple of cities if he wanted. He doesn't do it. What does that mean? It means that Vladimir Putin is truly interested in his stated goal, which is demilitarization. He's taking fights only with armed forces. And in fact, the fights that he's taken, he's not even taking them with full commitment. He's currently mapping Ukraine. He's mapping where are the pockets of resistance, what kind of resistance can we get, and he's striking strategically. And when there are pockets of resistance, they are identified for future air raids. He's not going to send just waves of tanks continuously clashing with any place where there is resistance. To the contrary, it's a very strategic invasion. Of course, well, Putin has said that he didn't want the Russian media to say invasion or war anymore. He wants to say it's a special operation in Donbass. But I'm not Russian media, so I guess I can say whatever I want. So Putin is not interested at playing scorched earth with Ukraine. He wants to leave even the military of Ukraine. He doesn't want them down because he could easily order air raids that would take them down. But he wants to identify the pockets that are willing to surrender first so that at low cost he can get them to side with his plan for reform of Ukraine. So it's a very different war than what the mainstream media and the people on Twitter are trying to push for. They're trying to say, oh, look, he's slowing down. And a lot of the updates today you'll see on CNN, Fox News, is all about, oh, we have successfully slowed down the progression of Putin. No, not really. Putin is continuing exactly according to the plan that I could see and perceive from his early strikes, which is he wants to take down the efficiency of the military to the point of surrender. And that is like he's trying to approach Ukraine as, how can I get them to surrender with the lowest cost possible in terms of casualties, both to me and to Ukraine? And Coach Red Pill is right at the heart of Kyiv, and he totally understands this, which is why he's not nervous, you see? Because every night right now, we have the Ukraine government telling people, get ready for an air raid. And what we end up seeing every time, including the major air attack that is ongoing right now, well, it's been starting an hour ago. And I don't know if we can call it ongoing, because it seemed to have been a strategic strike of a specific oil depot in the southwest of Kyiv. And this oil depot has then blown out. It took fire. And so it's going to be destroying the reserves of oil that the Ukrainians could have relied on. And so they're kind of terrorizing their own civil population, where Coach Red Pill, having a full understanding of the situation in his hotel, he knows that this doesn't look like, for now, it could change, but for now, this doesn't look like a war in which Putin wants to strike on civilian centers, which is why, despite being only 20 kilometers away from the big strike of tonight, Coach Red Pill doesn't think he has anything to fear right now. And I think he's right. I think he's reading this totally right. He says one of the big terror that is happening in Ukraine right now, in Kyiv, is that the people are afraid of their government. They are afraid that they will be forced into a armed resistance movement by the government, which is exactly what they're doing. They have forced males between 18 and 60 to stay in the country, and they have declared martial law to get them in the forces. Now, that is what people are fleeing. That is what people are afraid of. Coach Red Pill, apparently being in a hotel room and being, I don't know if he has citizen status, or I don't know if he's going to get recruited by force like this. But that's what people are fleeing, and that's what they're afraid of. It doesn't seem for now that Vladimir Putin has any intent at destroying civil streets, civil buildings, although there are some shelling that eventually touch civil apartments and stuff like this. But it doesn't seem to be his main target. Riding the Tiger says, Jeff, did you see the tank swerving into a civilian car? Was that strategic? There's so much misinformation about this tank. First, if you have not seen the other perspective video of that tank, you cannot have a position on this event. Because first, it's not even clear that this was, whether this tank was driven by a Ukrainian or a Russian. First thing. People have been saying on Twitter, it's a Russian tank just rolling over citizens for fun. So what happens is you see the tank coming at high speed and swerving and then rolling over a civilian car with an old man in it. The car gets totally crushed, but miraculously the man survives and he gets pulled out of the broken car, the crushed car after this. So what you have to understand is there's already a camera out there that has filmed this event from the back. And what you can see is that there were engagement here. There was engagement. People were shooting each other on that street. And it is so confusing because what is believed to have happened is that there was a kind of heavy, not a Jeep, but a very heavy military Jeep-like thing. I don't know how I would call it. It was a big military truck that was Ukrainian, but it was believed to be driven by Russian infiltrators. Now, that's a totally different story, but the Russian infiltrator meme, there's doubts around this. I would raise doubts. I think that the Ukrainians are at times shooting their own people. I think that they're so paranoid about there being Russian infiltrators that they may end up shooting themselves and thinking, oh, it's a Russian infiltrator. And are you sure of this? How do you tell? With the current chaos, there could very well be people joining the armed forces that have no Russian ID on them, that have no Ukrainian IDs on them. So in any case, the story is that this was a Russian infiltrator driving a Ukrainian military car, and he gets shot. He dies, probably, most likely. And then the tank comes in and under gunfire swerves accidentally and crushes the civilian car. Now, the story from the start was, oh, here are Russian army crazies and douchebags just running over civilians for fun. Now this was a tank fleeing or accessing an active engagement scene, probably getting shot in the process and swerving accidentally. And I'm not even sure it's a Russian tank. It seems to me like it could be a Ukrainian tank and it could be driven by a Ukrainian army who was trying to shoot the supposed Russian saboteur. So don't just look at the video from the high-rise apartment taken of this scene. It looks terrible, but the story is totally different. No matter what the truth is at the end, whether it was a Russian or Ukrainian driver, it certainly was an accidental swerving due to someone having his visual attention taken by an active engagement scene where there was active shooting. It's not someone drunk on vodka and just saying, I'm going to drive over civilians. Two vast explosions seen in Kiev appear to be around Vasilkil. The two vast explosions that lit up the night sky appear to have been around Vasilkil, some 30 kilometers or about 18 miles south of Kiev. Here are the explosion as seen from far, from inside Kiev. So we can see the night sky is lighting up, and you can see an explosion initially and then further secondary lighting up. Now, what does that mean in case of lighting up? It could be multiple bombs, or it could be the burning of fuel there since it's an oil depot. Here's a closer look at what took fire after these strikes. It is the oil depot reserve. So that's a guy filming from much closer. So we can see that there's some major structure that is burning. And here's an even better look. Oil depot on fire. So it looks like the fuel reserves of the Ukraine army and the Ukrainian civil population have taken a strong hit here. So this is part of the strategy of siege that we see being deployed. It is my impression that Vladimir Putin reads Ukraine just like I do, which is it's an unmanageable country from the perspective of full occupation. And so Vladimir Putin does not want to get dirty in terms of sending tanks into too many civilian places. He wants a surrounding of Kiev, and that's what he's accomplishing right now. This is other scenes of exchange of fire. This one is around Kharkiv. Not clear if it's from tonight or 24 hours ago. So it looks like salvos of maybe bombs, maybe heavy artillery. Not clear to me, but Kharkiv is a big site of fight. Tatar Grim says Swift is kicking Russian banks. Yes, this news came out. So they are trying to go financially at Russia. I don't think this will have much effect on Russia. I think that Russia must have done all of the preparations as a consequence. If anything, I think it will perhaps encourage Russia to go toward the cryptocurrency solutions. I don't know. It doesn't seem very important to me. It looks like the leaders of the West want to make it look like they're doing something. So what is the current situation in Ukraine? So you can see from this map what Vladimir Putin is trying to accomplish. He's trying to create a belt here. He's trying to create a belt so that he probably doesn't have to do too much fighting here in the center. He's interfacing with the current pockets of resistance. He's sending airstrikes and bombs in these places which he doesn't control. And he's bombarding these places which are at the border of the places he controls. And he's also sending airstrikes and missiles around Kiev. But not with the intent of immediately taking over Kiev. And we can see the Ukrainian resistance here lighted in blue. So what they do is they have destroyed many infrastructure. They have destroyed bridges. The Ukraine army is self-hitting. And to a certain extent, they have to. They are neutralizing the capacity of Russia to be rolling in tanks, and they're doing so by abolishing roads that they bombard themselves, and they are trying to fight in pockets of resistance at the borders of the Russian advancement. So that is the current situation. By the way, if you want to support the show, you can join Entropy tonight. Entropy is the right place to send me your super chats and questions. Our survey tonight on Entropy is, will the US get involved directly? There are polls indicating that more than 70% of the US is favorable to getting involved. I think it would be a very dangerous and very stupid thing to do, but it's on the table. You can also send super chats and questions on Odyssey. Make sure you log in on Odyssey and click on the support button. So, looking at this map, there are lines of progression. There was amphibious attacks from naval positions onto Odessa. And you can see the progression here is to circle Ukraine. Probably not the western part. There's probably less care about taking over the very western part, but Vladimir Putin is seeing bigger than just the river here, which was believed to be perhaps one of his plans. He wants to come to Kiev from at least three directions, extending his positioning from Crimea, extending his positioning from the independent republics, and getting also to Kiev through Belarus and perhaps through here. So he's making various paths to eventually isolate most of Ukraine. And then whatever would be left would be only Western Ukraine for people to flee, or eventually people to develop a kind of resistance place. Just to show you the kind of discussion that people were having around the supposed ghost of Kiev. The ghost of Kiev is confirmed to be a pansexual transgender woman. As a transgender woman, I respect this comment. The thought of a transgender ace knocking out homophobic and transphobic Russian bigots from the sky absolutely warms my heart. And these comments, whether they were trolling or not, were getting a lot of likes on, and a lot of people were commenting in this way on Twitter. They all believe there was a hero in the sky that was a transgender or maybe gender neutral pilot of a jet. More scenes of engagement. This one again, I don't know if it's from tonight. It's reported to be in Kiev. It could be from last night or tonight. Lots of engagement, lots of gunfire. People are filming this from totally dark places because Kiev is as a policy to go totally dark at night, because they say it will disrupt the ability of Russians to strike from the sky. However, in the age of GPS, I'm not sure this is a valid ID. In the age of GPS, do you really need visual guidance? I don't know what's the state of the Russian technology on this, but it seems like it's, if anything, it allows more furtive, more hidden penetration of the city if Putin ever gets there, but he has not gotten there. So now the Ghost of Kiev rumors have been debunked by fact checkers. Footage of an alleged Ukrainian fighter jet named the Ghost of Kiev is from a simulation game, fact checkers report. So the Ghost of Kiev does not exist. Kremlin, the Kremlin is under cyber attack, at least it looks like it. There are various websites of the Kremlin that are showing difficulty at being online. So is it the US? Because the US had mentioned that they were, Joe Biden had mentioned that it was put on his table, a plan to do a cyber attack onto Russia. I don't know. It could be people are saying that Anonymous is joining a cyber attack on Russia. I don't think that this can have any major impact. We're just talking about public-facing sites here. I don't think that the Russian infrastructure for communication will be greatly affected. There was this photo earlier today, and people taking this photo have started claiming that it was maybe paratroopers or bombs, parachutes, descending into the southwest portion of Russia. However, a video has then emerged showing that apparently, if you take this and you revert it and do a rotation, you realize that it's those lights that are simply reflecting into the sky through a kind of flaring visual illusion. So I had titled originally the show of tonight, Is There Paratroopers Being Sent? And I had put an interrogation mark. But it doesn't seem like it's paratroopers. Although I thought maybe it's paratroopers, maybe it's a bomb. Turns out it may be a reflection of the lights on the street of Kiev. So earlier from today, those videos were from earlier today, so they might reflect last night engagement of citizens. The Russian troops are being targeted by various tactics. Some of them include Javelin anti-tank defenses, as well as Molotov cocktails that are being prepared and stashed by the Ukrainian resistance. So I don't know exactly what led to this fire, but it looks like one of these tactics of destroying Russian tanks or other Russian vehicles. So we see this arising from different parts of Ukraine. There is a good analysis of the strategy. There is going to be a large-scale attack on Kyiv tonight between 1 a.m. and 8 a.m. So that would be 1 a.m. would have been a couple a hour or two ago, and 8 a.m. is into the future. This is the sketch I've drawn, in my opinion. These are not facts, just speculations. I think it's a good analysis of what Putin is trying to accomplish here, trying to advance the offensive lines and establishing control in an area. And, you know, a lot of people on Twitter have been saying, oh, he's slow. Well, wait a minute. It would have been a miracle if a 43 million people country would have fallen within 72 hours. Are you crazy? I mean, it looked like this at the beginning, but it would have been a miracle. What's happening most likely is that Putin is slowing down in the sense that he's securing infrastructure and positions so that he can advance at the lowest cost possible in terms of casualties, and he can advance intelligently through Ukraine. So you have all of these fronts of offensive, and this is what it looks like. Crimea, the south has been failing in terms of resistance. Not much resistance has been met from the south advance, so we have an expansion from Crimea that is quite significant. There has been a lot of fighting in Mariupol, but mostly in Kharkiv and in Kiev. One moment. All right, so what else do we have? Missile, it's oil depot near Kiev that is confirmed. It's the video we were looking at earlier. The pulsating light, and of course, as mentioned by someone on the regular chat, the SWIFT system will be blocked for selected Russian banks. Now, I see this selected is probably the result of a negotiation that has happened between Germany and US. If you do selected Russian banks, the problem is it's not a real block. There's going to be some Russian banks that will still be able to do the transfers, and the economy will naturally move toward these banks, and then they will have internal transfers within Russia. So it looks like a tap on the wrist type of thing. Where it's not enough to truly hurt Russia, and it's probably something that Russia was totally prepared for. Mike Kovachi tweets, this is what Kyiv looks like tonight. This looks like it may be the work of the anti-air defense system. Other tweets were claiming that this was, but some people are challenging this image. So I don't know what to tell you. It looks like this image could be deceptive, but there are certainly people claiming that the anti-air defense systems of Ukraine have attempted to keep the explosion southwest from happening, but may have stricken the drone that did this, attack after the drone had been successful at putting the oil depot on fire. So here we have the Ukrainian military, which is still in possession of Kyiv, and it seems that they are moving position. It seems like they are driving into urban areas rather than more downtown. And looking at this, It speaks to the strategy that Coach Red Pill has identified, and which I think is extremely irresponsible from the Ukrainian government, which is you have here a country, Russia, which appears to be wanting to demilitarize and to do a kind of honest engagement with the Ukraine military. And then you have the Ukraine government making everything in its power to arm the citizenry for a guerrilla-type resistance movement, like cyberpunk almost. You see the scenes of Molotov cocktails being stacked, and you see the scenes of people being given automatic weapons. And as Coach Red Pill mentions, these weapons are dangerous. You're giving these weapons to people who don't know how to handle them. You're going to have a lot of friendly fire, not to mention the fact that you're putting these people at risk. You are making these people a legitimate target for the Russian military. And the Russian military, seeing these armed people, will shoot them and will airstrike them also. And then you're going to complain that your apartment, your residential places are being targeted. But you've militarized. You've militarized your residential areas. So this is, I mean, it's such a cynical approach by the Ukrainian government. And I don't know, if I was a member of the citizenry there, I would see the bullshit here. You are essentially using, just like America has been very often complaining that Muslims in, you know, in these Muslim countries that were getting attacked, that there were terrorists that were using residential places to make the US government look bad. Well, that's exactly what Ukraine is doing right now. They are playing scorched earth not with their lands, but with their people. They're saying, if you want honest military engagement, you're going to have to strike on our residents and our citizens and our civilians. You're leaving no choice for Vladimir Putin to go archer on residential areas when, in fact, he was headed toward not getting engaged in anything, residential or civil. That is the debunking. I finally found it. The debunking of the paratrooper hypothesis. Look at this. So you take the lights in the sky, up, you rotate it, and it turns out to perfectly align with the lights in the streets. Quite amazing that people are able to debunk this as it happens live. But this was a visual optical illusion. Now, that being said, the area that was believed where paratroopers would have been dropping was actually the area that eventually got struck with an air attack that led to the fires of the oil depot. Meanwhile, the US is around. They're not far. Look at this on graphs. The US Air Force flies over the Black Sea. Some US aircrafts right here. They're making circles. They are staying, I guess that is their legal limit where they cannot go into Ukraine because it's not a NATO country. But look at them. They are circling and observing. It's impressive that no action is taken when they are so closed. I don't know. Are they tempted? Will they eventually take action? I don't know. This is another take on another angle from the Kiev, what we believe are the Kiev explosion from this video. And you can see the flashes in the sky. The shockwaves were big enough. You could hear that an alarm system of a car has been triggered by it. Earlier today, we have seen a missile striking Kiev. I don't know what to think of this. It's a missile that comes and strikes an apartment building. Does that mean that truly there is a targeting of residential areas? I don't think so. I think it could be a missile that was headed toward a target and got kind of obstructed by the apartment building. To me, this doesn't look like a typical attack from the perspective of what Vladimir Putin has done otherwise. You're going to see it. So that was a missile hitting the side of a building, creating a big hole in the building. Of course, this image is being used to say residential areas are being targeted, but it's the only case. So I would suspect this missile may have been headed toward a different place and may have accidentally hit the apartment building. I would suspect it could be an accident. Go away, says JF. Have you heard of the ghost of Kyiv? Kyiv. I thought Ukraine had no hope until I heard about this story. Truly, the Ukrainians are a determined, capable people. Yes, I have talked about it at the beginning of the show. Maybe you weren't there. New Nation is on entropy. He says, outside of being able to write a single research paper and being able to properly read scientific studies, what other basic educational skills should be required for a political right-wing streamer? Well, I don't think these things should be required for a political right-wing streamer. I think you can have these things or you can have other things. I strongly believe in the market forces. And if someone can survive streaming, they should be streaming. And if you want me to be able to survive streaming, support the show on Subscribestar, Patreon, or send super chats, because I work every day to prepare the best summary of the events of the day. And so, yeah, it's all a matter of market forces. To me, a streamer must not have a particular education or skill. They must just be entertaining enough and informative enough that there are people willing to sustain their work. I think this conception that you have to have educations or skill is extremely bad for our society. It forces people down roads of acquiring special diplomas that are just kind of ways to force people down a line, and it allows so many exploiters to really get these diplomas, but they don't really have the talent to do something. So I'm not a skill-oriented person like this. I think you should be deemed worthy by the value of what you put on the public space or what you put in any sort of work. Those were from yesterday. What seems to be missiles, artillery, or perhaps anti-air defense systems. Of course, we hear the sirens. Those are for alarming the Kyiv people that incoming air raids may be approaching. Yeah, so I don't know. In this case, there may not have been visually anything in the sky, but it may be simply that there was an expectation by the siren system that there were incoming air raids. This is one example of the resistance movement with their Molotov cocktails, which I realize is a pretty strong tool of anti-tank defense if you can get in range. The big problem of these tanks is that if you are in their range, they can't do much. They are really armor for distance bombardment. But if you are close like this, there was a group of Ukrainian soldiers and civilians that were shooting. They are shooting Molotov cocktails at this tank, and it appears that they have totally destroyed it. But maybe not the tank, but certainly cut the oxygen from the driver so that it becomes totally non-functional. So here you can see the tank trying to get back. There's already a vehicle that's been attacked successfully. and the tank is driving back. But the Molotov cocktails come at it quick enough. And And at this point, there is so much fire. I don't think the driver. Oh, Lendot said this was a maiden from 2014. This was this I've mistaken it because it was labeled as Russian-Ukraine conflict. So it was not from today. But in any case, you can see that Molotov cocktails can be effective at stopping a tank. JF got food. I mean, I'm trying to gather the most videos I can in the day. I think I have a good success rate, but sometimes you guys are there to identify things that have slipped up, and I appreciate it. Western propaganda using old photos and footage. Well, while we talk about this, there is indeed there is propaganda on the side of the West. Here, this was presented, for example, as 25th of February, so 2 days ago, where little children were saying, saluting their parents going to war. But as it turns out, it dates from 2016. So we're trying to get the best information we can, but it's an environment where there is a lot of misinformation. We have scenes of certain Russian soldiers getting captured, and some of them being killed, although Russia has not acknowledged casualties yet officially. It seems from the videos that there are some bodies that seem to be have been thought to be Russian soldiers. It's hard to evaluate, though. You know, there could be friendly fire events where Ukrainians shoot each other. There could be old videos that are not contemporary. In any case, that is the environment in which we have to try to find correct information. Heavy fighting in Kiev. I believe this is from last night. You can see lines of firing here. It's very interesting to see the multitude of tactics. A Russian Su-25 shot down by MENPADS surface-to-air missile, reportedly in the Kherson area. So there is some degree of anti-air defense still available. There is discussion in the media about the potential of thermobaric rocket launchers. So those are the TOS Buratino. They are a rocket launcher mounted on a tank base here. And they are talking about thermobaric weapons, including the mother of all bomb and the father of all bomb. Father of all bomb, for example, would have an area of effect of 300 meters. And these weapons are just stacked with explosives and chemicals in a very concentrated form that leads to 300 meters diameter of effect. They operate through the shock wave that they create, as well as the deprivation of oxygen, because there's so much oxygen needed for the chemical reaction to happen that they are sometimes referred to as vacuum bombs. And because of the wave of air that is consumed and then exhaled from the explosion, they create massive shock waves that can crumble buildings. And there were fears in the mainstream media that this is what Putin would use because he has He has been using this before in Syria, apparently, and in some other place, I think. So for this, you need the TOS-1 Burattino launchers. The problem of these launchers, although we have seen them in Ukraine, they are still not in range of threatening the positions, although they could be transported there, presumably. So I don't know if it's part of the Putin strategy. It seems that if Putin can get a surgical interaction with the Ukrainian military, I think it's what he will choose. But if he is pushed to the point where his military goals cannot be accomplished, it is potentially an option that is there. Unfortunately, it's an option that is generally seen as not very surgical. And also, the range of this weapon is a problem. You need to be within, I think that the most they can shoot at is 3.5 kilometers. So if we look back, if we think back at the map that I've shown earlier, before you can get to a true siege of Kiev and you would be within range of Kiev for that kind of weaponry to be used, there are a lot of steps before. You have to establish lines of transportation that are safe. You have to be safe from the air because these things could easily be bombarded if you don't control the airspace. So there are steps before we get to that kind of weaponry. Lendold says, basically classified as a heavy flamethrower. Yes, in Russian, I believe TOS comes from, it means heavy flamethrower. It basically, but it's not a proper description though of what thermobaric weapons are. However, let's not forget that these launchers can be equipped with various missiles. So what we see in there are not necessarily shockwave based missiles. They could very well be more napalm based, that just seed fire rather than a shockwave. It depends on what you're targeting. A fire may not be enough to destroy structural stuff like buildings. So it all depends on this. But this is considered a siege weapon, and we would get toward the use of this kind of weapon if we were in a situation where a very strong resistance pocket seems to be very difficult to deal with from an encircled position around it. You could either go through an air bombardment or that kind of material. Multiple videos on social media of Russian military out of fuel, food, and stuck on highways. So this is part of the liberal leftist, I guess, how can we call it, pro-Ukrainian memetics right now on the internet. It's to present the Russian army as being a failure because they don't have fuel. But I would be cautious with interpreting this kind of scene where you see a single tank doesn't have fuel. Does that mean that there are structural problems in the invasion of Ukraine from the perspective of Putin lacking resources? I'm not sure. I don't believe this. Certainly not a single instances like this would lead me to believe that Putin is somehow in trouble in terms of getting his soldiers to the field.
Сломались, пацаны.
So here the Ukrainian civilian apparently laughs at them and says, do you need a lift back to Russia or something like this? Of course, I don't understand this language, but that's what people were reporting was being said. Here you see Vinman, for example, tweets, abandoned BM-21 grade battery. They're supposedly running out of fuel. I'm not sure. This could very well just be stationed TOS units batteries of missile that are just stationed because they are not being used right now. I cannot verify that this is a result of missing fuel. But that plays in the current narrative that is being developed. Kyiv right now... Okay, I'm going to skip over this. I'm looking at the freshest news. Oil depot hit just outside Kyiv. All right, we've already talked about this. Meanwhile, there are operations undergoing from the Ukrainian military side to be striking on their own infrastructure to keep Russian forces or those coming from Belarus from progressing. Here you can see a bridge has been completely disabled, perhaps by a strike from the air. They hope that this will slow down the progression of Russian forces, but slowing down doesn't appear to be sufficient. All right, so earlier this was seen and was reported by mainstream media as being evidence that the TOS system is on the table, because these videos were taken on roads that are headed to Ukraine or close to Ukraine or inside Ukraine. We can see the TOS unit here. And the mainstream media was reporting that this one seems to be equipped with missiles at this moment that are flamethrower type missiles. We see certain columns of trucks being headed, so it doesn't seem like all forces are inside Ukraine at this moment. There are still advancements being made by vehicles, military personnel, etc. What else do we have? Trucks marked with V were seen in Yelk, Gomel region, Belarus. So there seems to still be those trucks with V seem to be all coming from Belarus. It's probably a labeling of which unit they come from. They are also progressing from the north, from Belarus. All right. We have received a super chat. Alt Media sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, who do you think will win this war, Russia or Ukraine? It's hard to see how Ukraine could win. The thing is, here's where Russia could fail. Russia could mis-select its goals. If Russia starts an occupation strategy, an occupation strategy would be absolutely ridiculous. If I was Russia, if I was Vladimir Putin, I would go for a minimal encircling, just war of attrition. Because you cannot manage 43 million people. You certainly cannot manage, even if there were refugees that were leaving, even if you had a reduced population, you cannot manage Ukraine. There are just too much there's too much nationalism, too much pride, too much independence in there. And so I don't think it's what Vladimir Putin wants to do. But if he wanted to do this, then he'd be in trouble, because then the cost would be close to infinite. It's like there would always be a little revolt somewhere, and he couldn't impose local policing that is strong enough to keep the country under control. So I think that if Vladimir Putin continues with the current approach, which is not occupation, but rather just a kind of decapitation of Ukraine from a military and regime standpoint, then Russia will certainly win. Now, there could be things that come in the way of Russia winning. It would be, for example, the U.S. starting massive air campaigns against Russia, disabling their capacities. I don't know if this will happen. This might happen if Russia pushes too much on civilian centers. But we have not seen that yet. So as long as Russia keep it a clean military war, there's little chance for U.S. involvement. And therefore, there is all the chance that Russia will succeed. Now, the problem is the Ukraine game right now. The Ukraine government, what they're doing is they're precisely arming their civilians, because they know that if there's enough civilians, and they are locating their resistance within civilian and residential centers, because they know that if they can get those good images of bombardments of residential areas, then the U.S. might come to their help. It's a very cynical strategy, but it's what's being done right here. And they could just be successful. The thing is, at some point, Russia will be pushed. At some point, Vladimir Putin will have a window of opportunity where he's going to have to win the war quick. As long as this is a war of attrition, Vladimir Putin is in a perfect position. I mean, time is on his side. Look at them. Their oil depot is burning right now. Eventually, they're going to be lacking food, and Vladimir will have increased control over the roads, and eventually you won't be able to deliver anything to them. So, and along those lines, we have heard today that Germany was taking an active stance and actively wanted to fund the Ukrainian government and send them Javelin anti-tank defense systems as well as anti-aircraft systems. Now, that is surprising to me, because it's like direct involvement without saying it. It's like, oh, we're going to help you in every possible way except to send our own soldiers. But that's what the West is doing. Now, if you're Vladimir Putin and you see this happening, there's two choices. Either you are controlling the delivery roads and the air potential deliveries through air, you're controlling that enough that it doesn't bother you. Or if you don't control the air, or you don't control all of the roads, then you start being annoyed by this. Because what it means is constant examples of your tanks getting taken down by these potential defense systems. So if the help of the West comes to be so strong and so regular that Vladimir Putin realizes that it will keep going forever and that it will make the war impossible to win, then Vladimir Putin will be put on a very tough choice. He will either withdraw and diminish the extent of his military campaign, which wouldn't be a big problem for him, because anyways, he's already titled this military campaign a special operation in Donbass. And so if suddenly it became too hard for him, he could easily get out of Kiev and say, oh yeah, okay, we've secured what we wanted to secure. We just wanted to secure these two independent republics and we're good. This is a possibility. Although the extent of the commitment of Putin right now makes me guess that he wants more than this. And so if he wants more than this, and he becomes stubborn, and he sees the help coming from Germany and therefore indirectly from all of NATO and the US, then he's going to realize, I have to win this within 24 hours at some point. Because it's going to get more and more difficult with time as they get more deliveries. In that case, we should expect perhaps bigger strikes and bigger, more decisive advancement. But for now, it is not at this point. It is at the point of a war of attrition that is, of course, at the advantage of Vladimir Putin. We see some shelling has affected residential areas here. This is obtained from the live Ukraine map, which is quite amazing. Let me show you here. It's a map that you can refresh, and they geolocalize all these events. we can see the freshest events that are geolocalizable. So here you can see Russian troops targeted a gas pipeline in Kharkiv. So it seems that this is the theme of today's attacks. They are attacks on gas pipelines and oil depots. Now, when you do these kinds of attacks, it's because you want to win a war of attrition. You want the other side to have zero resources, and then you force them to move, and then eventually they can't move because they have no more fuel. So it's a very strategic attack that we see both on Kyiv and on Kharkiv here. The infrastructure related to fuel, oil, that is a very important aspect developing right now. Alt Media sends 100 LBC. He says 100 Odyssey tokens translate to only $3. It's nothing. The major reason people don't send super chats is because they don't know how to buy these tokens with USD. Well, you don't have. If you want to send super chat, you can send them directly in USD. You can pass through LBC, but if you have a credit card, credit cards are accepted for sending US dollar super chats. But yeah, there is some education to be made with the users of Odyssey. So that's why I say the first thing you want to do is be signed in. Sign in on Odyssey, so you can see all these options if you would like to support the show. I believe that there were some tanks that were successfully destroyed by the Ukrainian resistance. People are claiming that this is a contemporaneous image. I don't know what's real anymore, and it's very hard for me to verify, but this looks like an example of a tank destroyed by anti-tank defense systems, the kind Javelin, the kind that Germany wants to send. So Putin will find himself at some point, if these things become common, he's going to have to deploy a harsher strategy to take over faster. But for now, he doesn't have to. We see examples of buildings, residential buildings being hit by fire. But I think this is, if I'm correct, I covered what happened to this building 2 days ago. And you have to be careful. It's not necessarily that these buildings are being targeted by missiles. It seems that some object had been stricken by the anti-air defense systems of the Ukrainian army, and that object was then burning on the ground close to this, to an apartment building at least that looks like this one. And so some of the damage you see is not necessarily an intentional strike, but sometimes the very defense systems of the Ukrainian army that are playing against its people. A violent attack on Kharkiv city, either from last night or tonight. Here we have from the live Ukraine map. So this is fighting in Kharkiv. So those are the kind of scenes. And so at this point, the two big centers of resistance where the most intense fighting and air attacks are happening are Kyiv and Kharkiv. And the west of Ukraine seems to be relatively unaffected or less affected. So it seems that for now, Vladimir Putin is chopping Ukraine in half. And it's not so much the river, it's past the river and chopping it really 50-50 at the middle of Ukraine, including Kyiv, in terms of his approach. I don't know if he will get further. Video shows destroyed Russian military vehicles from CBS News. So that's another example of a vehicle. Those are, I believe, this looks like a vehicle of transportation of material. And so you can see that there were lots of material in this vehicle, grenades, materials of all kind. All right, so there is some efficient resistance happening. And finally, as we close our coverage of these war events for tonight, the first female Ukrainian fighter jet pilot, Natasha Perakov, dies after being severely injured. What a waste. It's unbelievable that we are sending women like this, who could have been perfect breeders, that they are being put in charge of military jobs. I find this absolutely ridiculous. Fadam says, Jeff, why are we suffering under wartime propaganda and disinformation if our countries are allegedly not involved in the war? Well, I think you answer your own question. Our countries are involved in the war. There's a difference. Of course, the US will be involved in pretty much any war in some form. It will either be as an observer, as an active participant, or as a physical participant. So in this case, the US doesn't want up to now to be a physical participant. That's one thing. But but the US has found other ways. And in any case, the nature of the internet being the international thing that it is, in any case, you're going to be involved no matter what, at least at the ideological and Twitter level. It's like there's no way out. The worldwide discussion will happen, and therefore the US will have interest in terms of informational control. Evropa Aesthetica sends a $5 super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says 95% of the information about this conflict online is pro-Ukrainian propaganda. Thanks for the objective war coverage. Where do you get your information? Also, watch the Red Turtle. I'm trying to do my best. You know, I think I'm pretty proud of the war coverage we've been able to do on this war. I think, yes, I'm aiming to be a rare voice of reason and objectivity in there. And I'm very happy when I go on Twitter right now and I see all of the extreme disinformation and propaganda and leftist cheering Ukraine, and it's like it's so emotional and so beside the track of the truth that I'm very happy to not be on Twitter anymore. But yeah, where I find my information, I go on various Telegram channels, Twitter videos. I try to get many sources, and then I have mainstream refreshing all the time, and I try to integrate the information I'm seeing in an intelligent way. And there's also Live UA Map, which is a very good website, because it actually tries and succeeds many times at geolocating, proving the geolocation of a given video or a given claim. And so a combination of all these sources allows me to develop a good idea of what's happening on the ground, because a lot of people are shocked at, you know, they see all the alarming messages on Twitter saying an air raid is incoming, see cover. And then they look at the live stream of Kiev and there's not an air raid going on. At best, you hear some bombs in the distance sometimes. But, you know, Kiev downtown is right now not a dangerous place to be for now. As Coach Red Pill was mentioning, it's a dangerous place to be if you're a Ukrainian person and you expect that your government will be forcing you and the military into a position of resistance that doesn't make sense. So the Ukrainian people, the males, are afraid that their government will take them and force them into a poorly strategically chosen position. But up to now, the actions of Russia have been extremely narrow in terms of targeting strategic infrastructure, not even civilian infrastructure. You know, Coach Red Pitt was mentioning, hey, I'm on a cell phone right now in the middle of Kiev, and I'm talking to you. Isn't that wonderful? But what it means is that Russia doesn't want to stop neither the troops from emerging from these places, because they could. They could bombard all internet and cell phone communication infrastructure, and you would get nothing from there. That's not what we see. What we see is an open engagement with military sites that seems to be totally in line with the plan of Putin to demilitarize the Ukraine. So, and you know, I was I made a post yesterday, since I couldn't make a show, and I wanted to talk to the people who are offended by my coverage, because there are some of you that it's a small portion of the audience, but there is a small portion of the audience that dislikes my coverage, because it's too objective, but they would say you're too pro-Putin. And I've explained as follows on Gab. Well, the Optimic Pessimist says, Jeff, I noticed some of your viewers disagreed with your take on the Russia-Ukraine situation, and I believe it's unjustified. So I would like to say, keep up the good objective reporting. Well, thank you. But, you know, to be clear, I understand that given that my positioning is not the one of the mainstream, I understand, like, I would tell you, if I wasn't a Ukrainian, I would disagree with myself. That's how much I understand you. And, you know, I'm not pissed that some people are insulting me in the comment section, saying, Jeff, you're playing the hand of Putin, you're a puppet, you're a shill. That's exactly what I would say to myself if I was a Ukrainian, or if I was kind of, if I had family in Ukraine, or if I was somehow tied to this country. So I understand you, but please understand that my approach to this conflict is truly from an outside perspective. I don't claim legitimacy, and I don't claim like somehow I care about Ukraine. I don't. But I look at this conflict from the perspective of truly a Westerner who doesn't have private interest in this country, but who looks at this country from a geopolitical standpoint. And what can change in my life with respect to what's happening there. And so I said this on Gab. It's interesting to see a part of my audience really is pissed at my position on Russia/Ukraine. I understand it's an emotional subject, and taking positions on dozens of subjects across the year, there will always be a given issue with which you happen to disagree with me, and that's fine. However, I would like to answer to the general point. You're not the same anymore, JF. You used to be anti-war. To be clear, I'm mostly anti-West, as the West stands right now. I'm anti what the West has become. And the West has been engaged in plenty unjustified wars, which has resulted in me often taking an anti-war stance. To all those having an issue with Russia implementing the Minsk agreements, i.e. by starting a fight because Ukraine did not fulfill their obligations as part of the Minsk agreements, I ask, are you sure you want the West as it exists now to crumble? Because if all it takes to gather your enthusiastic support for the globalist empire is a couple of days of anti-Russian propaganda, then whether you know it or not, you will always remain a slave to that empire, whenever it matters. And to those who say, but Jeff, you're a libertarian, and war is against liberty, I say, you're very naive. But that I've always warned about. Libertarianism is not what most people think it is. Erudite libertarianism requires understanding that liberty can only exist in a protective bubble, one surrounded by war and aggression. Liberty is also about contracts, and the idea that a breach of a promise is an act of aggression in and of itself. Libertarianism is also about what one is entitled to do when they perceive an act of aggression or a threat to their own existence. Fadam says, if you're anti-war, you'll eventually be in a war to prevent future wars. Yes, absolutely, well said. And so I say, I'm not telling you to join the Russian forces, but I'm inviting you to observe this war with a certain perspective on what it is. It's a unique and first instance of a serious challenge by an advanced nation to the expansion of the totalitarian American military empire. If you can't find value in that perspective, chances are one day you'll enthusiastically send your own children to serve in yet another future, useless American war. So my point on Russia is not to say root for Russia and be with Russia at all times and even want to live in Russia. It's not this. A lot of people are like, Jeff, do you know how they treat people like you in Russia? I don't care. I don't want to live in Russia. I'm not making an apology of Russia. What I'm saying is the events that are happening now are extremely important at determining the point of strength. How strong will NATO be going forward? How strong will the West be going forward? And the weakest the West can be, the best it is for all of us. Because every dollar that the West will lose just caring about these international geopolitical things is a dollar that won't be used to oppress you at home. And people were saying, yeah, but JF, losing empires become extremely fascistic toward their people. Yes, it's true. You're right. And I'm an accelerationist to some extent. I believe that things will have to get bad before they get good. And so I understand that a losing West in crumbling will eventually come to oppress me a little more. But I prefer this because I know that on the way to the destruction of the West, to its complete crumbling, there will have to be time where we root and where we welcome events that are weakening us. And I believe that the Russian-Ukraine conflict will weaken us. And I'm in line with therefore appreciating the event for doing that. Nison System says, Jeff is 100% about the situation of the world order regarding NATO, etc. Yes, it's super important. It's important because someone was pointing out, do you have any idea how much oppression of individual and family rights you will have to go through in the West if the West controls all of this planet? Do you have any idea how brazen our governments will become if they have total worldwide domination? It's going to get bad. And so I prefer our governments don't have global complete domination. That is it for tonight, boys. Please, it's great to see big crowds. 430 people watching live. This is amazing. By the way, we're getting Richard Spencer Monday. He will come and analyze with me the situation of Russia-Ukraine. We're getting Coach Red Pill either tomorrow or later this week. I don't know when we'll schedule it. It's going to be amazing this week. So if you'd like to support the show, send some super chats through the support button. You can use credit cards, USD. It's now enabled in Odyssey. You can also use Entropy, Patreon, and Subscribestar. All of the links are in the description below. You can also buy The Revolutionary Phenotype, my great scientific contribution, which I hope will become mainstream under a worldwide Russian-dominated planet, perhaps. You know, Vladimir Putin will be thinking about me and eventually make me a big scientist in his new empire. Rodi Lassid says, Jeff, do you think any European countries have triggered their Emergency Measures Act I guess parked honking truckers are more dangerous than advancing Russian tanks. Emergency Measures Act. Oh, you mean, but locally? We would know, right? This is something you announce. So I don't know what you mean there. What I'll say, a comment on this is, there are protests rising in Russia, and we see systematic arrest of people who are resisting on the streets. And this is where the West loses the moral high ground, you see, because 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you could have had the West say, look how Putin does with the dissidents of his country. Isn't that bad? He's putting them in jail automatically. But today, they can't even say this because they've been doing it to the truckers. So Putin, you know, is this kind of little spine in the foot of the West that I hope will hurt the West from a moral standing perspective. And I hope, although, you know, my hope is low, but I kind of hope that the West eventually looks at Putin and looks at themselves and says, look, we're not better than this guy, and we have some things to work on domestically before we keep trying to improve the world and save everyone. Let's save ourselves first. Nice on System says, JF, Biden's Justice Department has political prisoners rotting in the Washington, D.C. gulag. Yes. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed right now that we have 400 people live on a solo show where I'm just giving you my thoughts on a conflict, because I couldn't get this on YouTube. YouTube would have already shadow banned the stream because it's about war, potentially demonetized it. And we're on Odyssey here, and the crowds are growing, and it's going to get even better and bigger. It's amazing. I'm very glad that everyone is here, and much love. Be safe, and we'll make sure that Coach Red Pill is safe in Kiev, that he doesn't take too much risk. But he seems to be in safety, and we'll be talking to him very soon. What are the results of the poll? Will the U.S. get involved directly? 3 people say yes, 4 people say no. Yeah, I'm pretty much half and half on this. I am not sure at all. Len Dalt says, YouTube even shadow bans live compilations of live cameras from Ukraine. Ridiculous. Fractal Man sends $5. Cheers to a huge crowd. Thank you so much, Fractal Man. And people should be thanking those super chatters because they keep this show alive so that everyone can benefit. And the Optimic Pessimist says, what the JF dissenters are missing is you're coming from an anti-globalist libertarian position. Exactly. Simple as this. If something can affect the strength of the Western states, it's good for me. If something can lower that strength, lower their hegemony, their domination over the world, it's better for me. All I want is to be left alone. And Nice on System says, Jeff, do you think Kiev falls sooner than later? I think it's headed toward extremely quick fall, but we'll have to think about whether Putin has interest at all in making it fall. I think Putin wants to circuit it right now and play war of attrition. So it's like, it's going to take a lot of time. Right now, the resistance is kind of self-deceiving into this whole cyberpunk style, we're gathering Molotov cocktails type of lifestyle. The thing is, what they don't realize is what is being installed around you is a machine of military assault that can sustain months of war of attrition. And you guys are like, oh, yeah, we're giving guns to the citizens. It won't change anything, because by now you could have been, they could have carpet bombed Kiev. It's just that Putin doesn't want to do this. So they're not doing it. But your country is being taken over. Slowly, roads and infrastructure are installing to keep Russians in place in this siege forever, and you're going to have a bunch of citizens cut from the rest of the world with no oil, no fuel, no food eventually. So to me, the falling of Kiev may happen relatively late, but the thing is, to me, it's already falling. See, they're already losing the war of attrition because they're not playing the right game. The right game, the question was, can they get international support to come save them? And for now, the answer is no. And so they're falling back onto local resistance movement. But that, if Putin can stay far, stay remote, do the war that you dominate. The war that Putin dominates is airstrike, technological superiority, and superiority in number and in capacity to strike fast. So you don't want to get involved in sending foot soldiers into the streets downtown in Kiev. That would be the error to do, because then you would be faced with guerrilla urban warfare. But just advance, continue. If he continues his advance progressively, putting a stranglehold around the big cities, he's going to certainly win. Riding the Tiger says, Jeff, do you think you'll be left alone when/if foreign powers are in charge of your life? Surely this is the outcome of a vacuum of Western power. Are you telling me that the Ukraine war right now is a result of the vacuum of Western power? The thing is, you're right, but what is the extent of the legitimate occupation of this planet by the West? Because if you're telling me, JF, the Ukraine is currently getting invaded because we didn't invade it before. Somehow you're right. I mean, you could say that about any centimeter of land of the planet. Canada got invaded because the US didn't invade it before. Antarctica could get invaded tomorrow, and you'd be like, Jeff, there's a vacuum of power in Antarctica. But the thing with this kind of this assumption that underlies your statements there is that you're taking for granted that it is the job of America to occupy everything. It's not. A country that is not able to defend itself will fall, and should fall in a way, if you want nature to come back and equilibrate things. Everyone must be able to care for themselves. If you're unable to care for yourself, you will be erased from existence. That is just a law of the universe. Now you say, how would foreign powers treat me? Somehow, I have the impression that if China, Russia, France, UK, if whoever was to dominate, say, Canada, was to invade Canada and totally control my life, somehow something tells me that they still wouldn't be as annoying to me as the SJWs that have organized systems for brainwashing children, kidnapping children, forcing children into public school, destroying the parental links with their children. Somehow, I think that all of this is much worse than a Russian guy walking on the streets in front of my house and checking in on me to make sure that I'm not part of some guerrilla warfare movement. Somehow, I enjoy the thought of being eventually liberated from the current state of the West. Much love. See you all tomorrow.
We'll be right back.